the DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check this.
Well, and DL the Bit. I miss you, Brendan O'Dotney, and Shaw, a Highland Radio. Folks, welcome to a special show from Sister Sarah's, live from Sister Sarah's here in Letterkenny. Give her a wee whoop whoop. You sounded good there, Mal. Folks, thanks so much for coming down here this evening. We're going to do a special All-Ireland semi-final preview. I'm joined by two men here, two heroes of ours from Battles of 92 and 2012, Anthony Molloy and Rory Kavanagh. Lads, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brendan.
Thanks, Brendan.
We're also then going to hear from Meath legend Graham Garrity. We're going to look for a bit of balance, but we'll also get that from Michael McMullen, who's here, kind of neutral tonight, but I know who he wants to win All-Ireland. The Derryman, of course, great ties here to Donegal and to Donegal GAA. He's going to be joined by our own top pundit, Brendan Kilcoyne. We're going to get into the game, and we're going to tee up this fabulous fixture, what is the All-Ireland semi-final. Now, as I say, to my left here, I'm delighted to be joined by two lads who know a thing or two about semi-finals and finals and winning them. But we're at the semi-final stage here now. And first of all, Rory Kavanagh, current Glen manager. How's things going up there for you?
Hi, good, Brendan. New challenge, I suppose. But as you would expect, great bunch of lads and getting on well. And
you got them back a bit earlier than maybe...
Aye, that's a good thing about Derry being knocked out. You get your county men back. So we're currently on a two-week holiday break now at the minute. So we'll be getting back then. We have three league games left and then into championship in August. But yeah, good. I mean, as you would expect, great bunch of lads and I suppose very ambitious, as you would expect too. But just getting to know them on a personal level has been good, you know, and yeah, playing away at league games now and lead up the championship.
Is there any difference you would see at all between club football so far? I know you haven't had championship yet between Donegal and Derry.
Very competitive, you know. Our away days have been really difficult. There hasn't been much in any of the away fixtures for us this year, like a point or two in them. But and as you would expect, everybody out to beat Glen, sort of thing. They're the big team in Derry, even though Newbridge pipped them in last year's county final. So yeah, very competitive league, and yeah, it's one that you have to be really ready for now coming into the championship.
Yeah, great stuff, Anthony. You're going well in the old political circuit.
What about,
you wouldn't have a tilt at the presidency, no?
No. Look, I think I'm as far as I can go. Like,
you know, if the vote came down to Donegal, you'd be in on a landslide. But
things are going great, yeah, and things are going great with the council and all that there. And it's a busy time, like, and, you know, I've enjoyed my stunt so far. I'm heading in now to my sixth, seventh year, like, yeah. So it takes a wee while, you know.
Kieran Brogan here, taking you under his wing, or is he under your wing now, or what might he do?
No, Kieran Brogan with the party whoop, like,
there you go.
There you are.
And, the whoop might come out tonight.
No, what a man, Kieran. He's a great man to get the experience that's required at that level, you know. And look, at I came into politics, like, it was a kind of a greenhorn, like, but we have a great old party there, and good bunch of fellas there in Lifford, like, and we get on great together, and then we're led by Kieran, and you always need a captain, and Kieran's a man.
There you go. From one captain to another, of course, we're here at Sister Sarah's, the sponsors of our show. We have a couple of these spot prizes for you here this evening. We have a Donegal jersey donated by McCormick Sports up the street here, thanks to Brian and all the staff, and Mark down at Evolve has a voucher for you as well to get you kitted out. Now, and a wee while we're going to, I caught up with Graham Garrity earlier, just for a couple of words on Meath, just a couple of talking points that I'm going to throw to the second panel. But earlier, I actually phoned, I'm coming up from Centre Parks, I phoned Bernard Flynn, day of the crack, Graham Anthony, and just sticking with yourself, 1990, the last semi-final, ourselves in Meath, a day that didn't go well. Now, the biggest thing he remarked to me, and you often heard about this Meath team being very physical, he couldn't believe how physical Donegal were that day in terms of how... He says it was the most physical game he ever played. And yeah,
I suppose, first of all, like, it's very hard to believe that it's 35 years ago. And you know, we'd been around for a while, a good few of us, like, from the 83 team. And, you know, and then we lost also finally 89 replay and all that there. Like, so we were a fairly experienced bunch. But again, typical Meath team, we came up again. I think we owned the ball for about 60% of that game, maybe more, like, but we didn't get the scores. Like,
the whiteout was 13-3, Antony, which was huge on a day.
Unbelievable. And then they hit us with two goals in 2 minutes. Like we were still in that game with an hour, you know, an hour on the clock, like 60 minutes. Like, and then they hit us with two goals. Like, and it was a huge, huge disappointment, because I felt that we had a great chance that year, you know, and but they got they goals won matches, like, and they got three goals that day, and we had a lot of possession, like, but we just didn't convert them into scores, you know.
Yeah. Listen, I remember being a wee boy sitting watching it. It wasn't that often we got to Croke Park, and I was actually there in 83. My uncle took me up from Galway, yeah. Actually. I was sitting in with the Galway ones, but yeah. It took us a while, Antony, to get there, but we eventually did.
Well, you know, 1990 was a huge disappointment, like, for me, because I was a sort of a seasoned player at this stage, like, and, you know, I was also Cappuccino as well, like, but I was there in 83, and again, leading me 2 points. I'll never forget it. I was only about 20 years of age at the time, and we're leading by 2 points. We will always remember Val Daly and Donegal, like, and harmless free ends up on the net, like. So we came back down the road again, played well, but didn't get the result, you know. And same thing happened in 1990 was a huge disappointment, because we matched that Meath day, that physical, with physical endeavour and everything else, like, and we're going to get the same on Sunday. Like, that's the way Meath play, like, they're competitive, you know, they're in combat and they're physical. And we will see that again on Sunday, you know. And I know that the game has changed a lot, you know, since my playing days. There's no doubt about that there. But we will see a huge, huge challenge for Meath on Sunday, because these boys are coming to Croke Park. Hey, they've absolutely nothing to lose. They've beaten the three best teams in the country so far. Like, and we'll be included in that as well. They would be let loose on Sunday, like. And now, just looking at their squad, and I wouldn't know much about them, or probably Donegal people wouldn't know all that much about me, because they come from nowhere this year, obviously. Yep. Their half forward line is 21 years of age, 22 years of age, and 24. A young half forward line, like, yep. You know. Now, hopefully our experience will count for us. I was up in Newry, and this is unbelievable to think of this coming over the road as well. In 2023, we went up to Down to play Down up in Newry, and I'll say there weren't 500 Donegal supporters up there the same day, and Down beat us by 5 points. I came down the road in 2023 and things were grim looking, you know. So hence along comes Jim again.
Yes.
You know, and we have two Ulsters this one. We contested the All-Ireland semi-final last year as well. Like, so we should be that step ahead or two of Meath next Sunday.
Yeah.
But we have to play.
We have to play. I just want to give a wee shout out to the Chiefs here. He took the private jet over for the show from New York. We have a few people listening from New York. We might get a few words from boys towards the end of the half of the show. Tell me, Rory, just on that semi-final thing, then going back to your own 2011-2012 time, is there some parallels in there with Meath in terms of, you know, new team coming through? What Anthony's talking about is Donegal have a level of experience at this stage maybe that they don't. What was your own feeling then of 2011 and the 2012 and the kind of maybe the surety that you got then from being there that first year and then ultimately getting to the final next year?
I will suppose 2011, we hadn't won an Ulster in 19 years, you know, and that was a huge, huge thing. So breaking that duck for us was massive, and I suppose that gave us confidence going down into Croke Park to play in the quarter final against Kildare. And I suppose that game then, you know, took on a life of its own. It went into extra time and, you know, the famous Kevin Cassidy winner. So going into that semi-final, I suppose, against Dublin, in many respects it was a bit like Meath coming in now against Donegal. We had a free shot at Dublin, you know. We had no clue, in fact, how we were going to approach that game up until literally an hour before throwing. Like, it was the most surreal build-up I can remember to
a
game.
What do you mean,
like,
you had no clue? So,
well, we knew, okay, our style and our system and all of those things, you know, kickouts and all the rest, but how far we were going to go back in and retreat, you know, inside the 45 and not engage whatsoever, that surprised a good few of us. Like, you know,
that happened on the day,
We knew we'd bits and pieces during training, you know, but then it was phones away, like phones are going, you know, and no phones in the bus. And, you know, that level of detail then that he went into kind of before the match was amazing in terms of the matchups and things, you know. So, look, that game, even though it was not pretty to look at, was going exactly according to plan for us, you know, in the first half. And even at the start of the second half, you could sense the Dubs were absolutely flummoxed because they were coming up and there was no space for them to kick the ball. And their game was all about kicking the ball inside to the Bernard Brogans and these boys and getting runners off them. And they were flummoxed, like, and I remember Colin McFadden had a shot, you know, 5 minutes into the second half, and it had a, went to maybe a metre lower and into the back of the net. We probably would have won that game, But anyway, we were probably just, we weren't ready to go on and win it down the stretch, you know. But look, me, they're coming in, as Anthony says, with a free shot against Donegal now this weekend, so... Look, I'm expecting the same as Anthony, like a huge physical test. Like, it's no mean feat when you go out and beat the Galway midfield, you know. And again, you mentioned Kerry as well and going out and beating them. So, look, we have to be ready. You know, there's going to be a serious physical test. You know, their midfield are strong and they have a good fit team. Like, and what impressed me was the pace in the team. Like, everybody goes on about the Donegal fitness and speed that's in the team. There's serious amounts of speed in that Meath team as well. Like, so they'll give them their due respect, no doubt about it. Like, but I would agree with Anthony, like, you know, hopefully our big game experience and the fact that, you know, we don't seem to get rattled too easy. You know, we're 7 points down against Monaghan and we didn't panic. You know, he just trusted the players. He made a few changes in the second half, but by and large, he trusted the players to sort it out. And they did. And, like, Donegal have huge levels of fitness. Like, I was amazed by them. I was in Upper Cusick and just watching some of them. And the way that they can keep going and keep going and keep going that second half was amazing. Like.
Yeah. Just on taking phones off people in the bus. I presume Jerry Brennan took all the phones off everybody in the Louth bus. That's where the bus got. So I was thinking, how could there be 50 men with sat navs? But of course, all the phones was taken off them. So there was one down point. The poor Louth boys got lost. Listen, Andy, just mention some of the players there. The midfield battle, you know. You look at some of the players out there, the size of mental, you need a ladder to get up, to get over them, you know, O'Neill, you know, they're old school, kind of. Is the rules, do you think, a big part of the driver of Meath this season, Andy? Because they've never wanted to play it, you know, too tactically. They want to fetch it, kick it long. That's how they like to play it. Speed, as Rory says, is fast, but it's kind of old style. So maybe that's part of the reason they've really come through this year, along with, obviously, you'd have to say Robbie Brennan, and he's definitely got some kind of magic there, hasn't he?
Well, look, they all believe in Robbie Brennan. We all know, like, he is a good manager, like, and look at their big round the middle, Menton, big, can play. They're physically big. They can win ball, and they're still old style, and they're coming here carefree on Sunday as well. You know, they have absolutely nothing to lose. Like, and look at, from what I've seen of them, like, and I wouldn't know me that well compared to the older team, but when you have the Capuchano, Frayne, and you've got Jordan Morris, and you have these young boys on the half-forward line, and they don't care, like. They don't care absolutely about Donegal, like, and they'll go out and they'll play a sport of a, I was saying, a free spirit style on Sunday, you know, and hopefully that... And not hopefully, like, we should be experienced enough now, you know, to, you know, we've got a couple of years in these fellas, you know, and they're only building now. Like, and I will say this Meath team will be around for a while. Yeah. And, you know, they have disappeared and they couldn't even compete. And we have played them a good few times in the last couple of years. We've gone to the National League and different things, like, and, you know, we beat them fairly handy, you know, even though they did put it up to us. Like, so, look at... I would say Brennan will be telling them, boys, go out and express yourself against these boys and we'll hit them hard and see what they're made of.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. No better man for the hard hit. Rory, just tell me, listen, we know where Donegal have been this year, Ulster champions again. Jim, like, he's going for 5 semi-finals out of 6 years. You know, it's an amazing statistic, you know, in terms of it just keeps producing. And even though, as you said, there are times Donegal have been up against it, that backbone seems to be there again. Is that a difficult one for Meath? And Anthony mentioned, obviously, beating Galway, Kerry and the Dubs. But I think probably in the Kerry and Dublin game, I think they were there to be beaten. You know, Kerry missing six. If Kerry played them now in Croke Park, I think a lot of us would fancy Kerry. Now, the Galway game was probably the one where when Galway come back at them, we're talking about experience here. Galway had the experience, you know, two All-Irelands the last couple of years, two All-Ireland finals. But like, as Anthony was saying, it didn't seem to bother me. You know, when they hit for that 2-3, they come back. So is this more of the most dangerous team we've played so far this year?
I would argue it probably is. Like, you know, Monaghan, we kind of played them earlier in the year, and you're always worried about a team that you play earlier and beat. There's going to be a bit of a backlash from them. We got that against Monaghan in the first half. I think you touched on it. Like, so much of the momentum shifts now around Gaelic football are on kickouts. Like, and we struggled badly in the first half against Monaghan on the kickouts. Like, and I think it was the first time I seen this year Patton really frustrated and kind of throw the arms out to the side, and he was caught once for taking too long, which just kind of compounded the stuff that was happening in front of him, because it was obvious he felt that there wasn't enough, you know, movement in front of him and things, and we weren't getting our hands on the ball, and we weren't probably attacking properly either. Like, we weren't putting attacks dead, so that meant we weren't probably defending properly. So look, there was a lot of things going wrong. I think Meath are going to come out of the traps fast, like against Donegal, like, and you know, I don't think they'll give one iota of respect to Donegal, you know, even though we're back-to-back Ulster champions. I think Robbie Brennan has a bit of that siege mentality that Donegal have been creating in the last couple of weeks. I think there's a bit of that going on there, you know, the fact that they've been written off and they've been given no respect, and, you know, they'll be playing that underdog tag really, really well. Like, so they're going to be a very dangerous opponent for Donegal, and we need to be on it. Like, but I think Donegal secretly, deep down inside, they'll realise that what an opportunity for us to get into an All-Ireland, and the fact that McGuinness has gone away and strengthened over the winter and bringing back Murphy, and we have a squad now. Like, you know, there's not too many campaigns where you could maybe lose your first choice midfield, as Donegal did for a good part of the year, and still go through the games and the championship games and win it. Like, you know, but Donegal been able to do that, and we've lost Keelan McGonigal as well. Like, and you know, he's a massive player and a protective player for Donegal, and we've been able to kind of manage his loss as well, with Owen Bann stepping back in there to that six role. So, like, you know, Donegal have just, they've added to from last year. They've got even stronger. So that's why that would point you in the direction of, you know, Donegal, hopefully, if we perform to the level, that we might have a bit too much for them. Like,
yeah, indeed. And listen, there's so many stars in this Meath team that's coming. But, you know, there's, on our own Donegal side, there's so many players playing at such a high level, Roy, which is the same when your time there with Donegal. Everyone seemed to be, you know, you put in a shift, you're going to be in the round of seven, and then a lot of players are going to be eights, up to possible nines on a day. So many players now are encouraged to go out and express themselves. And, you know, from Pat to McCool, you know, Rorty, best young player in Ireland, you know.
Rorty's been, like, Rorty's phenomenal, like, yeah. The year
he
that
attacks,
he's having.
He,
like,
attacks the play every
day. But it's his intensity in his own half, coupled with winning turnovers, coupled with making 80-yard sprints forward, coupled with getting on the end of scores, like, which is just blowing me away. Like, you know, and we had players, your own Paddy McGrath back in 2012, and Paddy was only coming into the panel from the 21s winning squad at that stage, and like, these boys were mad for runs at the end of training. Like, and I was coming 30, like, so I was dreading the runs come at the end of training. So, but these boys were asking for more runs at the end. Like, we used to do maybe 2 hours, and next thing you would go into a block of runs, like, and I used to dread them, but he would be asking for more at the end.
Yes.
And I have a funny feeling Finbar Lorty would be the same type of character, asking for more runs, you know, because he has that level of fitness. But you're right what you say, like, there's so many, like Kieran Moore and Shane O'Donnell, all these players who have serious reserves of fitness, like unbelievable levels of fitness. And that in the second half is taking us to another level, you know. So it'll be interesting to see, can Meath live with that fitness
from Donegal, because it's no doubt there. Like, you've seen it even the Ulster final, like, you know, some of the players, how they were able to keep going in extra time was amazing.
We've got the 2 week break now at last. You know, I hate starting naming Donegal team, because there's so many of them are having brilliant seasons, and they have to just ask you, midfield, you know, Hugh McFadden, now Jason McGee, you know, Langan's obviously going to play. The ability McFadden had was brilliant against Louth. It was probably the best I've ever seen him play. Then we started him. McGee did really well in the come on, and he was flicking down ball because of his height advantage. He's able to knock it down, maybe not the catching that he was maybe doing last year, but that's a very difficult one now on which of those players to start in the middle.
Well, just for starters, like, and you know, they say, they call me Big Guy, but I flew up to Dublin to the semi-final last year, and who's up the front? Only Langan and McGee, and I was in awe of them. Like, they were in their togs, like, and McGee's legs, like, unreal. I sat across the other side of the seat, right, and I was looking at these boys, and so then I requested a photograph when we hit the tarmac. What you got? I was like a kid.
Yeah.
I was like a kid with these two boys here, 6 foot, 6'6" and 6'5". And, like, so that's what you're up against now, like, and but all I can say as well, like, I think, you know, Hughie McFadden, like, he puts in a great shift every day for you.
He does.
Good, honest to God shift, like, and never gets much praise for it. But that's the kind of guy he is, like, he'll give it everything, like, and it's great to have that sort of a fella, like. Now, I don't know what'll happen on Sunday, whether Jason and Langan will start, or whether it'll be Jason or Hugh will start around there, but we have solid men there.
Either or,
it doesn't matter, yeah. I think we'll definitely hold our own. Like, Langan's just, he's probably one of the most gifted players I've seen.
Yeah.
And then apart, of course, from Murphy, who's the best player I've seen in my time, and we need another big game. He has so many big games, like.
We're worried about Murphy leaving.
But just go back, like, to, you know, the game has changed now. Like, it's changed definitely from my time, the levels of fitness. We thought we were fit in 92. What we were, like, we changed our way around, like, we changed our lifestyles around and all that. They're off the field as well, and we train 3 nights a week. These men are a different level, like, but the speed we have is all about speed now. But, the keeper now, he's the man carrying all responsibilities. Yeah. And just a wee example, and I was just looking at this in my head, like, Patton, he's probably the best keeper this year again. Like, he didn't have a great first half, but it wasn't entirely his fault.
Yeah.
We had no movement, there was nobody creating space. Did you see the second half? There were men everywhere available for this ball to be kicking out to.
Right.
And he kicked a few long ones, and they were only about 4 or 5 inches, one above Kieran Moore's head, that looked bad for the supporter,
yeah.
Landed into a Monaghan man's hand, like, they were 60 yards.
Yeah.
So it wasn't going well. Ethan Rafferty, supposed to be the best keeper this year, he had a nightmare. And Armagh didn't perform.
That's right.
So the number one is your main man now.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Here's another number one here out of New York. Man, up a second here. Give it up for the Chief. Chief Grab, on over this side here. New York legend. Chief, we want to know now, in the 2-point game, we've seen this man with some monster hand pass. Could he hand pass the ball for a 2-pointer over the bar?
I was saying, no doubt about it, he could. That pass he gave to Tony Boyle, a lot of boys wouldn't be fit to kick it as far.
That's the one. Listen, Chief, how are you doing? How's things in New York?
We're struggling there for a while now. We're trying to get Gailey Park up and running, but COVID kind of held us back and slowed us down a good bit. But we're back in action now again. We hope to get everything up and running again. And we had a couple of bad years there, but things were going against us. But as I say, it's looking good now again, and things are looking up, hopefully,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, and what about McLean Avenue now for the semi-finals and that? Will all the Donegal crew be out? It'll be a big...
Well, as Anthony there didn't touch on it, we do have a connection with Meads now. We have a sister living in Dunshaughlin.
Right.
And a couple of girls playing for the ladies' team and all. And we know Caulfield. I met Caulfield a couple of times, a good player, the wing back, and they're very disappointed because the three girls bought a surprise ticket for Catherine for her 60th birthday, and they didn't realise they're going to New York this weekend, they'll not be at the game.
Oh, no. And that's the end of their season, I would say. But
you know, so it happened.
Yes, and you've done me some great trips with these boys back in the day, 92, and the crew all coming out.
You can talk, I suppose, all day, I'm away from home so long that we never really appreciate it, but these boys did, to bring Donegal on the map from the 82 team to, to what we're experiencing now. Like, you know, so. But anyway, wee bit horses. But the night, as far as I'm concerned, that the 90 team was the best team. Imagine if we'd backdoor in them days. Yeah. You boys are two of the All-Irelands, no bother.
Yes.
Just and the same in Ulster final in 89. You owned the ball the first day. You should have put Tyrone away.
Yeah.
And then the second day, things went wrong, and they won it, and, you know, they were in the semi-final. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
So it's very, very short margin, you know.
Yeah.
But I have to say now, very proud to be here after all these years on the road. And very happy to be here because I know Jim McGuinness very well, his family and the whole, his father and the mother and all, and the mother was at the game on Sunday. And definitely took us back, revived things. No doubt about it.
A great woman, Maureen. Listen, Chief, you'll be back for the final anyway when we take care of me.
Oh, well, no, I'd be going over now with the help of God. I had a bit of trouble there, wrecked my knee a year ago. I had a bit of surgery. I had to go back over a couple of times.
Well,
but hopefully I'll be staying now this time.
As long as you pass the fitness test, you'll be back, eh? Most decorated player in New York. Somebody told me in a year there. Is this the truth?
Like, as we say, when this man was going in the 80s and 90s, we never... When you're young, you don't think of these things. But when it passes you by, it passes you by.
Yeah.
And you can't roll the clock back, you know. We're so happy to be here now to see the difference in professionalism now is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just compare to what we were doing when we were young, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, we went down to Sandfield, we trained on the 14, on the 16, whatever. So you had to make your own way home, and if you didn't, it's tough. There'll be somebody else in your spot the next day. That's the way it was.
No help.
There's the man down there, Frankie Campbell, would know that well.
Well, our drag connections are everywhere. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the two Malloy brothers, Murray Cavanagh.
Thanks.
All I want to say is good luck to everybody for Sunday. As I say, you need a wee bit of luck, and with the help of God, everybody stay healthy. And we will be in the final.
Good man, Chief. Well done. Back after this break.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Yes, folks. Welcome back to the DL Debate here, live from Sister Sarah's in Letterkenny. And we could have kept chatting the Malloy boys there and Kavanagh all night. The chat's continuing down below us. Great to catch up. I say earlier today, I had a quick word with Graham Geraghty. I just asked him a couple of reasons why he thought the Meath men were going to win this match. So it's just a short clip here, and we'll take it up off the back of
just
that.
Just a couple of reasons why I think Meath will win, are capable of winning. Like, first of all, Meath are in bonus territory this year, and they play with a no-fear attitude. They won't fear anybody, especially after beating Kerry, Dublin and Galway already this year. I think the bigger the team, the better. It's kind of reminiscent of 96 when we won the All-Ireland, and going out at the start of the year, nobody gave me the chance to do anything. That's reason one. Number two, I suppose Meath have shown the ability to stay in games. They have a very high fitness level, and are able to finish out games as well. And number three is our number three, Sean Rafferty, young fullback who relish playing against Michael Murphy, probably the best player in the country at the minute, and he'll have no fear going up against Michael. Number four, just our excellent forward line, our ability to kick two pointers as well, and like with Costello back playing really well, Owen Frayne, Rory Kinsley, and the remarkable Jordan Morris as well. I think he could have a massive input in that game. Five is that, you know, Meath are able to mix it physically with teams that we've seen in the previous games. Our excellent running backs as well, I think there'll be a huge difference and could be a game changer on Sunday. Just stick in a final one there. I think if we probably kidnap Michael Murphy on Saturday evening for a couple of days, that would be massive help to us winning the game as well.
Yes, kidnap Michael Murphy, that might be part of the plan. You know, isn't it great? I was just thinking, if we were facing somebody like Michael Murphy, what are you going to do with him? And that is the conundrum. But, you know, Graham Garrity there, first of all, Michael McMullen's out, Brendan Kilcoyne, I better welcome you properly.
Thanks, Brendan.
Lads, we cheer there for the two boys. Can we get one? I have to do everything right now. The head of sport, Oisin Skelly, here. I have to dot A's, cross T's, all that. Guys, listen, first of all, Mal, what a player Graham Garrity was, by the way. Captain Meath All-Ireland. I was lucky enough to play for him in the Aussie Rules and that. Great lad, and what a player.
He could have played anywhere, up front, wing back, and I suppose the Gunners were trying to sign him at one point, I think, in the soccer. So
that's right.
A real all-rounder, but I was chatting to Bernie Flynn this week myself, and he did play the whole bonus territory thing, but he did point to the fact of the physicality, and he does believe that it's a big factor this week as well. You know, that's really, he puts it down to it. And if you think back to like Sean Rafferty, who plays full back for them, like watching the game on TV, you probably didn't appreciate it, but that hit he put in, I think it was John Marr, I think, it nearly took the roof off the place. You know, and it was probably something similar to when Murphy came on against Armagh in the league out at O'Donnell Park. In Balbuffet. So it just shows you it's hard to beat a wee bit of momentum on both sides of it. So Meath have absolutely nothing to lose here. And why not come and throw everything you have at it? But at the same time, Donegal were here last year, Brenton, and so many ifs. Like 47 minutes gone, Owen Bann pulls his hamstring. You know, so many wee things, and then like Kieran Thompson got blew very harshly for a touch on the ground 3 minutes later, and 3 minutes later Rob Finnerty has something similar, but he kept his arm under, like fine margins. And I would say it has to hurt Donegal, you know, and as much as you say Anglo-Celt, Donegal Town, homecoming, this has to be the game that they've been looking for all year. It has to be, and if it's not, I'd be very, very surprised.
Yeah. Brendan, Graham mentioned there, obviously Sean Rafferty we know about, very unusual. He's mid-20s, he just kind of came from nowhere. And he looked, you're thinking, where was he? You know, no more than kind of McCambridge last year for Armagh, not being in the squad day after Ulster. Some strange things, but he mentioned the two-point threat there, which didn't materialise against Galway in a strange way. But there's so much to admire about this Meath team, and I guess probably that's the I suppose the warning for Donegal, and the lads have mentioned already, they don't seem to be afraid of anything. They're going to come all out and really go after Donegal.
They are indeed, Brendan, and they've huge momentum behind them at the moment too. And, you know, I was a great admirer of the Meath team of the 80s. I loved them, loved going watching them play. And you take even the 4-game Leinster final in 91, I was at 2 of them, so I was. And I just loved the way that they brought physicality and a never-say-die attitude. And that's what I expect to get from Meath at the weekend too. But yeah, you look at, like, there was no mention of Donald Keoghan, who has been one of the best defenders so he has over the last 10 years, yeah. Kind of thing. He's a fantastic player and always has been a fantastic player. And they've a young fella very like our own Michael Murphy playing wing half back at Caulfield Villa. I heard the name mentioned earlier on, playing wing half back, captain DCU to win Sigerson this year. So there's obviously a huge amount, and obviously Rafferty. So they've a lot of quality all over the field, not to mention Morris and, you know, Wallace up at the top end of the field. So they have. So they're going to be a huge challenge, but they're a new team, and this thing about having nothing to lose, of course they've something to lose. They're in an All-Ireland semi-final, and they're Meath. They're the hugely proud football and tradition, so they're going to come with everything, and they're going to throw the kitchen sink at it. And you know, I think Donegal should have too much for them. So I think, and what I'd like to see from a Donegal point of view is, you know, they've been brilliant in patches, so they have Donegal. They've played some absolutely awesome football, so, but they've been poor at stages too. They were poor against Monaghan for 30 minutes, so they were poor against Louth the week before. And it's about getting more rounded in the 70 minutes. You're never going to dominate any team at this level for 70 minutes, but it's about not letting the other team get that period of dominance. That on another day, if, you know, that Monaghan 7-point deficit at half-time could have been fatal. To be fair to Donegal, they came out and just blew them away in what was an absolutely fantastic second-half performance. But Donegal, I think, have been waiting for this. They've been building for this. It's game 10. They know what it's about. They've been here before. McGuinness, as a manager, has been here before. So they have that experience and that edge on Meath, in my opinion. And, you know, the talk about Graham talking about kidnapping Murphy, it's about the only way to stop him, like, because he's such an influential player. And, like, God forbid should anything happen to him, because I think it would be, it could be a fatal blow to Donegal's chances. He's been that inspiration, important to this team all year. When a ball is needed to be won, Michael is the man showing for it all the time. He's such honesty and such a leader in that team that, you know, he's just crucial to how the team will play.
Yeah. A lot of talk about this Murphy stuff. Chief, you might have to go and guard Murphy. That'll be your job here now before the weekend. Listen, we've spoke about, obviously, you mentioned Rafferty, Caulfield, you know, the midfield, O'Neill, Menton, you know, Duke, Costello, Free and Morris, serious. Is the thing maybe, Mal, that none of the teams that have played have been ready for that? You know, we're on about Jim McGuinness. You know, he's got a brilliant backroom team there. No, Colm Anthony in with him, Neil McGee, and of course, Luke Barty, you know very well. Brendan, very meticulous. Is this the first time Meath will really have a team that wants to, you know, break down what they're good at and really come at them with a tactical plan? Because I don't think the other three teams necessarily had.
Definitely, Jim doesn't come to the party without the plan, and he doesn't come to the party without that, you know, intensity. Like Rory was chatting about the whole hour before the game, we're going to go to a completely different new level. But, like, from my point of view, I think Donegal's biggest worry, you know, you're talking about the Meath side of things, is just what happens if they go through a first half like that again. And you're talking about Meath, like, they have massive size. Like, they've probably a bigger team than Monaghan had. Like, I know they had the 4-4-4 in the kickouts, but the other thing that Meath did was, like, do you remember whenever Galway went short to O'Flaherty? Jordan Morris got in the rob. So if Donegal go the short game to the likes of a, you know, if Meath, you know, have boxed Donegal in and they decide to go short, Meath might see that as somewhere to get joy, because Rorty, Muir, all these runners, that's where I think Meath will try and target, because they think that's where they're going to have to go. The one thing I would say about Donegal, Brendan, was they're bound to get a massive lesson from Armagh. You have to break that momentum. Mm. And, like, I don't think Meath have come across anything like this before. I definitely agree with your point. Mm. Because on the other side of it, I'll just finish this here, is Donegal have more variation now. That kick pass, Lang and Murphy back for the goal. They're trying that a few times, and I think, is that the Croke Park set of toys they're bringing out now? But I definitely think that that's something that could hurt Meath. But at the other side of it, Jordan Morris, I actually think he's a tricky customer. I watched the Donegal game from the hill, and, like, Owen Bann went through about two or three different markers. And when you're watching the game behind the goals, like, he was communicating out to the sideline, who do I go with now? There was replacements, Megan Espy coming in.
Yeah.
So there's a massive level of concentration for Morris, and I think that's where Meath might try and get some joy. Because you're chatting a bit different. He's different.
Mm.
He's class, like, he's got movement. So that's the question, is that a McCall job or is that a collective job?
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm looking forward to seeing, because McCall has been awesome.
McCall has been the man, I agree. On that, Brendan, do you think that McCall then, Morris had the 1-6 last night, do you think he needs to be on? Or, like, Costello does make the team tick. I mean, that goal when they pinched the pocket of McGrath there for the goal, the way he kept his composure and flicked the ball, like, a lot of players would have unloaded a shot there, maybe blocked with a change, of course it could be out. So there's a lot of talented players in there, Freyan as well, guys that need to be picked up. The Donegal zonal defence and how they drop off them, we've seen at times, you know, the switch in play, there sometimes can be a bit of weakness in that, but that is our tactic, that's how we're going to play. So I think it's a kind of game of two styles. You have Meath wanting to kick it and run it. And listen, we are kicking the ball a bit more now, but we want to run it, but we want to sit and hit as well. So it's a question of which one of those styles comes off the better, along with the squeeze and the kick out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, me, obviously they do, and they're traditionally that type of team that they like to kick a lot of ball in, and that'll be the preferred option every time they look up to do it, so they will. But I think they'll be looking up and they'll be seeing a kind of defensive rear guard there that prevents them taking that option, and that makes them think twice then. And, you know, we have brilliant man markers, like Brendan McCall has been outstanding all season. There's a lot of talk about Rafferty, obviously, but Brendan McCall has been absolutely sublime all season. He hasn't given an inch away to any player he's marked. So, you know, he's definitely going to pick up someone. And, you know, Finbar Rorty, I was lucky enough to work with Finbar a couple of years in the minors in the 20s, and he's phenomenal. Like, you see him, you see his energy in the tackle, you see he'll go tackle you, you pass the ball to Michael, he's the next thing, he's pouncing on Michael. He's just the energy and the feet, the fast feet that he has. So Owen Bann can obviously man mark. So we have players that can mark their key threats, but I think it's the value of the collective and the Donegal defensive system that they're so well tuned in, so they are to it. Every guy knows his role within the team, and that makes it very difficult for opposition teams to find them weak cracks or them weak holes in the defence. And, you know, I don't know what the word on Keelan McGonigal. I think he'd be massive. We could get him back for this weekend. I think we probably need him. Jason McGee got, 35 minutes, got 40 minutes into him the last day. So a couple of them things. And it's a testament to the work that's been done at training that to have so many of these players available and fit at this stage of the year after going through a 9-10 game championship. Is this their 10th game this weekend? You know, to have nearly a full squad available is a huge testament to what they're doing at training and the kind of work they're doing. Obviously, they did a lot of the heavy lifting through the winter, so now it's more about tactical and, fine-tuning for the games. But I think Donegal have the tools to curb the main threats that Meath have, and collectively then, that they will have too much on the front foot for them.
Yeah. There's one man could talk us through the kick-out strategies down there. John Patton's dad has come on the back. What's the crack, Peter? You keep it all right? Come on. Round of applause. Good man, Borky. Good to see you, lad. Great Donegal fan now. Good Bunnagy man as well. Sean Patton, you're under pressure now. It's all good. How could it not be? The lads were just saying earlier, you look up and listen, if anybody got in that position, you got to pick somebody out over the top of people, not kick it too far, slice the ball, chip it, dink it, everything that Sean was doing. Donegal's movement wasn't on it first half. The whole team wasn't on it. Sean got affected by that there. But the second half then, you seen the composure was back, Brendan. But yeah. Like Meath are going to try and they want us to kick it long because of their height around the middle. So again, we can't afford, and you have touched it already, for that movement not to be there. But I think with the 2-week break now, you're going to see an energised Donegal.
I think so, and I think to be fair to Sean too, he was carrying an injury there for a couple of weeks. It was quite evident, like looking at him, he pulled it out of the fire in the second half. But I think it's going to be a huge problem for Meade, and Michael was mentioning the 4-4-4 kind of press that they put on the kick out and that. Like, that'll be no, if Sean's at himself, that'll be no problem to Sean to bomb it over the top of that to Michael and for a runner. And that's where Donegal are really, really dangerous. And that's what puts the fear of God in other teams too. So it is their ability to do that. So will they be as forceful with their press as they have been previously, knowing the capability of Sean to put it down there? I don't think so.
Yeah, definitely. There's a couple of other players I want to talk about, Malin Said. Obviously, Gallen, in terms of he's shown us, bits and pieces of his brilliance. Conor O'Donnell's form as well. When you're thinking about players who can punch holes, it's all about beating that man, dropping the shoulder. And we're expecting it from, we're expecting it from Mogan, we're expecting it from Finbar coming out, we're expecting it from Shane O'Donnell, Murr. But Conor O'Donnell, who was in and out of the team a small bit, we're never too sure if he's going to completely nail down a place. His form has been, sparkling. Like, he's been such a live wire for Donegal in terms of scoring and taking plays to the opposition.
Oh, genuine pace. Like, there was a couple of seasons ago, I think he was Donegal's top scorer from play. You talk about freeze and all that type of thing, but exceptional. Like, I even go back to the Derry game, Sean put a big long kick out over the top, and they end up with Conor Donnell getting a score from it immediately, and there's that wee bit of zip about it. And probably when you chat about Jordan Morris, probably Meath will have to prepare for Conor O'Donnell, because you have Farah and you have Murphy and you have, say Patrick coming off the bench, you have loads of variation. But like Conor Donnell a couple of years ago, Jim didn't have him, or didn't have him totally. He's a serious weapon. Like, you could play him anywhere. Play him at number 7, you can play him at number 6, he just with that. But Donegal have too many of them runners. You have to play some boys up from. But he's got genuine pace. He definitely has. But I'll probably touch on Brenton's point about McGonigal. I'd be a big fan of McGonigal, because he's the boy who just puts out all the fires. With Meath's ability to kick 2-pointers, I think Monaghan maybe only county to have kicked more than them, and over the Sam Maguire team. So I think that's a concern for Donegal, because they can't afford to sit back. Do they learn from the Armagh versus Clifford thing? I think that's a concern. So if McGonigal comes back, does he be the man who sits outside the D? That's a very important role, I feel. But Brendan, who makes way? That'd be a massive call if Keelan McGonigal was available. But back to your Conor O'Donnell point, wouldn't fancy marking him. See your piece.
That's a very difficult one. If he is back, we'd love to see him back, of course, because again, he gives you so many options. Mal, just stick with you, just as a neutral then. I know we're all going for Donegal here. What are you calling then for the match? Then are you going with us, or are you going to throw a spanner in the works here?
No, my gut's Donegal, to be honest. But I feared for you at half time against Monaghan. You know, probably whenever Sean got blue for too long and the hot ball, and they were in a sticky place, and then watching Jim going across the pitch at half time, you're 8 down and you're thinking, where's this going? But from the moment Kieran Muir won a kick out from Began, one of them, those you have no right to do, and then obviously Langan's goal, they turned it. So I feel, you know, if they can get a way where Patton can bang it over the middle and find a way of the short game through Rorty, Muir, that they don't dispossess, I can't see them losing, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we hope so. Brendan, you concur with that? Oh. You're not a neutral, obviously. You're with us now. We've taken you in. Tell me, there's another wee game on at the weekend. Yeah. Nobody's that interested in Tyrone and Kerry. How do you see that one going, Brendan? Have we seen now Kerry? Have they announced themselves this season at last?
Listen, Kerry are the aristocrats. They delivered and they totally obliterated Armagh in the second half in what was probably the best 20 minutes of football that's been played in a long time in Croke Park, so they were fantastic. But you'd have to question where Armagh went or what happened to Armagh that totally capitulated in the second half. So I think Tyrone have a really good chance going up at the weekend. I really do, and I kind of quietly fancy them. I think they've the midfield to cope with that Kerry team in Kendi and Kilpatrick, which is hugely important, having them big men around the middle. And I don't think their forward line has fully kind of hit the heights yet, but I think it's obviously within them with the talent that they have there. And I'd give them a really, really good shot. I would be concerned about Kerry defensively, and even speaking to a couple of friends I have down in Kerry, they have the same concerns defensively, so they have. Mm. So I think Tyrone will be closer to Kerry and might even sneak it than people are giving them a chance for.
How are you going with that, Mal?
Sort of 50-51, but I'm going with Tyrone for three reasons. The first reason is they weren't great against Dublin, but I never felt they looked like losing. Second thing is that absolute awesome spell that Armagh have, Tyrone are bound to be licking their lips at that and thinking, like, let's get stuck into that. And the third thing is Niall Morgan won't do what Ethan Rafferty did. He'll learn from it. He'll have more variation. And the only thing is that Kerry won't allow him to do what Dublin did, but for those few reasons, I do feel, you know, Tyrone could do it and the treble could be on.
The treble could be on. That's a the drone that works. The conveyor, but that's a wild note to leave it on. No,
just
listen.
Can't say it, everybody's saying it.
We love our neighbours, yeah. Listen, we'll get them in the final. Joe Dex is producing here as ever this evening. He's telling me he's nearly wrapped up. I'm looking at some pizza and food that hasn't been eaten. I'm going to tear into that now. Thanks very much for Kieran and the staff here for looking after us. Of course, Rory Kavanagh, Anthony Malloy, everybody for coming down, the Chief, Michael McMullen, and Brendan Kilcoyne, folks. We're all for Dublin. Let's get behind Donegal. Donegal for Sam.
Randy.